Hi, good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to New Jersey Revolution Radio Live with Diane Moxley. I'm Brian Powers. We're going to be joined tonight by Peter Flemish. He's come from Central Jersey Jewish Voice for Peace. But first, we're going to spend just a few minutes talking about what's going on around the state of activism. We had a couple of weeks off. Is it 2 weeks off? Did we take? We had the cannabis forum.
Yeah, I guess technically 1 week because we were all present at the cannabis forum.
We did. Everybody pretty much was, and we had, it was the show people, which was great. A couple of sponsors we had, but the flash floods, I think, kept the masses away, unfortunately.
And the tornado warnings.
And the tornado warnings during the, not only did the tornado warnings. Not only did the tornado warnings fuck up the attendance, but also there's like a glitch when they go over the internet that screwed up the editing. So I was supposed to put out the last production today. And for those of you that have been waiting for the pre-show production of that, which is the last of four, I had to delay it another day because all those little glitches, every time there's a tornado warning, there was a skip in the video and you have to go back and you, So, but I want to thank everybody that was involved in the cannabis forum. Our sponsors, Help Not Handcuffs, you know, and Hub City Smoke Shop. They were nice enough to kick in a few dollars to help, you know, buy the banners and get the production out. And we want to thank, of course, the Coffee House and Edison for hosting us. I think it was a good time. I think it went well.
Yeah, absolutely. We had some good people present. Great speakers, great panel.
I think the owner didn't like that Weed Man was making him jokes about selling weed.
Nah, they got along. They were hanging out.
Watching it over again. And I got to call Carol Gay, too. We got to call, because I was editing our conversation last night. They've got that rally tomorrow. So speaking of activism.
Oh, yeah. Let's give our viewers information about what's coming up.
So tomorrow in Trenton. And if you were listening to the cannabis forum, we were talking about this with Carol. They're going to rally at the State House because Phil Murphy wants to raise taxes on millionaires. $447 million, which is about 1.2% of the budget, the overall state budget, which is not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. And what I'm seeing, and I wrote a piece on this a couple of weeks ago about how basically from the angle of activists don't need to be supporting Phil Murphy. We need to be supporting working class people, right? So if Phil Murphy seems to snap his fingers and have all these nonprofit groups show up and support him, regardless of whether it's good policy or not.
Yeah.
So, and even some of the supporters of this policy, I talked to him, I'm like, well who's it going to help? What are they going to do with the money? Where's it going? I don't know. So they're just using the tagline of tax millionaires, which is a fine tagline.
Yeah.
Because I'm all for taxing millionaires until they bleed piss. But where's the money going? And nobody knows. So basically, we're all hopping on this tagline. It's an advertising gimmick. And they're all going to show up to the State House to demand a millionaire's tax. And when I look at the advertising for this, the Facebook ads, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I heard they're running some TV ads even. And now Steve Sweeney's running Path of Progress ads. These TV ads are clearly geared at middle-class white people, right? When you talk about who's going to get the relief, property tax is going to relieve property tax. Well, what if you don't own property?
Yeah.
What if you're a poor family renting an apartment in Newark? You get nothing.
Yeah.
Those are the people that need relief.
Yeah.
Where's quite frankly.
Is it just property tax relief because of the terrible Trump tax plan that hurt New Jersey, New York, Connecticut? So they're going to try to. It's like a shell game. The middle class, but sure, yeah, the working class renters.
If it's good policy, then let's all read the policy. We have smart people involved in activism here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We have very, very smart, intelligent people that can read policy and understand policy. Yeah. So why don't you spend a couple hours reading what Phil Murphy is proposing and figuring out whether it's good for the position of your organization? Be it a nonprofit, be it a labor union, be it a activist.
Right?
Yeah. All right, so let's sit down and my interest is an immigrant's right. I'm an immigrant's right activist. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at this thing and say, okay, what's in it for the people that I purport to represent? What's in it for immigrants? What's in it for undocumented people? Is there a driver's license program in there? What's in there for me? Or not for me, but for my cause, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then go back and say, okay, listen, you know, I'll support this, but let's talk about X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. That conversation never happens. It doesn't happen anymore. I'm watching these people trip all over themselves to run buses to Trenton to support something they haven't even read a sentence of. And you can get away with giving tax relief to people that, quite frankly, don't need it. Yeah. Everybody hates property. Everybody hates property taxes, but I don't want my property taxes reduced. You know, if it means people in worse situations than me and my family aren't getting nothing. Doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
We're spreading around. Give some property tax relief, but give something towards affordable housing in New Jersey. Maybe speed up the free public higher ed and let's make it real and viable. And then do we know what the millionaire's tax is? What is the range?
Numbers and I don't have them in front of me, but we did discuss it a little bit on the pre-show, which will be out tomorrow in podcast form. It was going from like 9 to 11%. The total income generated is projected to be around $447 million out of a $37 billion budget. So you're looking at about 1.2% of an overall budget. Going back to property, $447 million. And I think that they were tempting everybody with a $125 tax credit. So great. I can buy extra. Yeah, I can get a half a bag of weed. Thanks, Phil Murphy. Oh, no, I can't because you didn't legalize that yet. Moving on.
Yep.
Before we get into justice for Jameek, you want to recap Extinction Rebellion? Because you are slowly bringing your way into the motherland. I have seen some things going on in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about Extinction Rebellion in New Jersey now? Because you've done some actions in New York, cool stuff, mm-hmm. gotten some attention. Mm-hmm. What's going on in New Jersey?
We do have a Facebook page. So for our viewers, I'm getting too comfortable. For our viewers, you can go to our Facebook page at Extinction Rebellion New Jersey. We are having meetings now, so if you send us a message there, we will follow up and put you on our listserv of emails. Also, send us a message ASAP, because there is going to be a New Jersey contingent at the Extinction Rebellion New York City Day of Action, which is June 22nd. So we're going to have a group of great activists from New Jersey. I know some people that have already committed to, yes, there will be an arrestable action, but if
of
you're
course.
Not, but if
Diane likes to get arrested.
No, I actually don't.
She doesn't like it.
I do it.
She just does it all
it is what
time.
Is needed and what is required. I have the ability to do so. I will do so.
A couple more years. My kids got to get older.
That's all.
A couple more years. I can do it more often. Well,
so, yeah, reach out to Extinction Rebellion New Jersey. You can also sign up at xrr.nyc for the Day of Action, which is Saturday, June 22nd. It's just a week from Saturday.
Wonderful. It's great work. Diane's made some big sacrifices for this movement, and we're trying to save our planet. She missed a barbecue for this, so I really do appreciate what she's doing.
That was our outreach day.
It was important. I know you tried to stop by. It's okay. I had a barbecue that Diane missed, and everybody missed you, by the way.
Yeah,
but she was out there
barbecue.
Spreading word about this very serious climate crisis that we need to pay more attention to. So I'm glad it's starting to come into New Jersey too. So
thanks for we're gonna start taking more drastic measures right here in New Jersey, because we have to push Phil Murphy. He's doing crazy things right now with the NLG pipeline, and he was supposed to ban fossil fuels. He's not doing it. So we have to demand.
The numbers I'm seeing is that he's putting forth a program that would allow for a 33% increase in fossil fuels.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So
this is a guy that campaigned on a moratorium on fossil fuels, by the way. And now he's increasing the fossil fuels.
Yeah, that's what he ran on.
Ran on a moratorium.
That's out the window. Now we're going to pump it up. We're going to get more fossil fuels into New Jersey. So I think New Jersey needs Extinction Rebellion.
Oh, I just had a great set idea. As we build our set here in New Jersey Revolution Radio, as you're watching here on live, obviously this isn't a fully formed set. Yeah, I forgot to put the banner up too, but whatever. That might be, I'm going to get a big goddamn poster over here that just says, I told you so. And whenever not people everything. Vote for Democrats and think that some shit is going to happen, I'm just going to point.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of saying it. I say it a lot. A lot. All right.
Complete planet devastation. I told you so.
Terrible.
Right? Terrible. We have no time to waste.
I know.
So everybody come out June 22nd in New York City. All right. It's going to be great actions. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. It's going to be wonderful, amazing, like never before in New York City.
And
so come on and plug into xrr.nyc or Extinction Rebellion New Jersey on Facebook.
Cool. We'll have one more show before that too, so you can remind everybody next week as well. All right. Okay. And of course, before we go, for at least 8 or 9 weeks now, we've made the commitment to mention Jameik Lowry's name on the air until the family sees some justice up in Patterson. I went up to Patterson in the rain. I got stuck in North Jersey traffic, and I met the family of this man, his sister, his aunt, his mother, who are really, really strong people. I'll tell you what, they did. It was. I'll admit, I was just awkward being there. It's just so horrible knowing what they're going through, and knowing that you're standing in front of a building full of people that could probably help, because all they're doing is asking the police to tell the truth, and they're asking for the coroner's report.
Yeah.
And there are absolutely people with names who we know who can do this for them, and they won't help. And it's a clear cover. I mean, why wouldn't you release some of this stuff if you weren't covering something up? Why would you put out a vague report about him being in a compliance hold? Which cop put him in the compliance hold? Why is this guy dead? And still here we are. 150, 160 days later after his murder. And it's so insane. The city council meetings have been a joke. They're ignoring the family. They're blaming the family in some instances, saying that the family's being disrespectful. I can't imagine. But, so standing there with the family, this is a strong group of people. They seem to they're not giving up. They're talking about increasing pressure. They're talking about doing more on this campaign to raise awareness, not just here in New Jersey, but across the country. And this is a clip of Jameik's mother just talking about all the people that basically are.
But then for him to say, if I'm dead within 2 hours and you still have the audacity to put your hands on him,
I'm pretty much dead at all within the next few
minutes.
Yeah. And they didn't know that when if your battery dies and you're alive, if battery dies, it goes right away. Yeah, saves right away. Wow. It'll upload it.
But it's my thing is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Living in Patterson all our lives, you don't want to think that you have some police officers that are out here that want to do harm. But unfortunately, from how I feel now, I got to second guess myself, you know? Yeah. And the fact that they're still out here is crazy. It's crazy.
It's too much.
They still out here, they could still be doing the same things. You understand what I'm saying? These people in this building ain't saying shit.
Nothing.
The council ain't saying shit. The mayor ain't saying shit. The governor ain't saying nothing.
Nothing.
Ain't nobody saying nothing. The assembly people, Pascrell, all these, they're not saying nothing.
Nothing at all.
So there you go. Nothing.
Nothing.
150 days. This guy's been killed. The governor's office, the attorney general's office, Bill Pascrell, the city council, the police department chiefs. Nobody's, they've all closed ranks around somebody who murdered this guy, whose last moments are out on Facebook saying, if I'm dead, they did it.
And no report released.
Nope. And even our great governor's running and hiding from this. Mm. Ugh. Anyway.
I'm glad you keep bringing this to the public's attention.
Yeah.
And whatever we can do, if there's going to be actions, we'll spread the word, whatever they need us to do, because this is just...
It's all over it's all over our Facebook page. We share Corey Lewis Teague, who's the local activist that I've been in contact with. He speaks to the family, and I take my cues, and he's just done a great job, and the family is grateful for him. There's people attacking. There's people attacking him, like, oh, you're agitating. You're getting what the hell, man? He's really done, and the family is. I saw the family be grateful for his work, in person. Oh, I just tried to stand around and listen as much as I could, but it's a very painful thing. It's a very painful thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just hoping that, and my case is, you know, here in Woodbridge where I live, police are looking at this and thinking, hey, I can get away with this. Community's just, you know, city council's going to come around me and just not say shit, not really, and I'll be all right. You know, if I got a beef with some guy or if I want to get involved in some shady dealings and rub somebody out, I can get away with that in New Jersey. That's the message we're sending in Patterson. And after that use of force report, we need better. We need better leadership on this all around.
Yeah. So we don't have a conclusive cause of death and we don't have a complete report on what happened in the ambulance, what happens.
All vague, no details, just vague stuff. And it's sad. That's what it is. That's what it is. So we are going to move. I think I'm going to move this microphone over to you.
Okay.
All right. So it's going to take a minute. Sure. If you're there at home, you know, I can play some music or something. I think I can play some music. Do I know how to do that? Nah, I don't know.
Nah, just move the mic. I thought I did.
Okay, we're going to move the microphones around just for a minute to get into interview mode. And then we're going to be joined by our comrade here, Peter, Dr. Peter Flemish from the Central Jersey Jewish Voice for Peace. He's going to talk about a children's book called P for Palestine. It's causing quite a controversy in one of our towns here in Middlesex County. Just give me 1 second. You don't even have to get up to get a cup of coffee. All right, hold on 1 minute.
Okay. I hope there's not going to be no feedback issues will occur. No. Okay. Yeah, I think the audio sounds good. I like Brian's mic better. So here, you can have this one closer.
Okay.
Okay. Should I put the banner up?
No.
All that.
You'll put it up next week. Exactly. We'll be fine.
It's only be 2 hours.
We'll be fine. No interior decorating. We're fine. No interior decorating now. We're good.
No interior decorating? Oh my
God.
It's so white.
It is. It is. It's a little.
It's terrible.
Okay, so because you didn't put it up, you have to just hold it behind us.
Hang on.
Nope.
These are the kinds of things we edit out.
It's okay.
These are the things that have to stay in.
Makes us real.
Yes, there you go.
We are not fake news. We are real. We are so real. We have things flying off the walls.
Yes. So if I get up to go hunt worms with this kid again, you
know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Knock yourself
down.
Did you find
some? Okay.
We did. Yeah, that was fun. All right.
Gardening?
Yeah.
Great.
Take it away. I'm going to go upstairs and check.
Okay. I'm so happy this evening to have with us Dr. Peter Flemish, and you are with Jewish Voice for Peace.
Central New Jersey chapter.
Central New Jersey chapter. And you are a journalist, and you're also a professor. And I know you've been doing this great work on the Israeli-Palestine situation for, gosh, decades, correct?
Yeah.
Many decades.
Many decades. Yeah.
So you certainly you know, have the expertise, and you've also spent some time in Israel.
35 years.
Wow. Okay. And how long have you been back stateside?
10 years.
10 years.
So that's almost 5 decades of activism.
Yeah. So what we were going to talk about this evening is what happens at the Highland Park Library. I know that as we've spoken earlier about this issue is complex, and this is just one issue on the surface, but there's a whole lot else going on underneath that issue. But I guess we could start talking about there was an event.
There was going to be an event.
There was going to be an event. When was that event going to be? When was that event scheduled
May
for?
May 19th.
May 19th. And the event was co-sponsored. Well, first it was co-sponsored by Jewish Voice for Peace with the Highland Park Public Library as a co-sponsor?
Correct.
Okay. And what was the event going to be?
It was going to be, you know, when you think about it, it's quite innocuous when people hear about what happened. Mm-hmm. Kind of important to kind of just capsulate it into one kind of mm-hmm. sentence. So a children's book authored by a woman whose name is Gulbarg Bashi. She mm-hmm. lives in New York. Former professor here at Rutgers, now at Pace University, authored a children's book, an alphabet book. You know, we've done them all with our children. Mm-hmm. You start with each letter of the alphabet and you give it a name. Mm-hmm. So A is for Arabic. Mm-hmm. B is for Bethlehem, mm-hmm. which is the city in Palestine, mm-hmm. And so forth. And so she authored this book because there isn't anything out there for your for young children or even adolescents to learn about Palestine. And it's simply introducing Palestinian culture, its cuisine, its different places in Palestine, and what different religions Palestinians practice, and very familiar words mm-hmm. that are actually used almost interchangeably, most of them in Hebrew and in Arabic. Mm-hmm. So the event was to have her come to Highland Park, share the book with her, with the children and parents who were there, mm-hmm. And have an opportunity to talk about Palestine and about the culture of many people who are our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We're a very diverse state. We have many Muslims and Christians from that area of the world living here. Mm-hmm. I know that in Piscataway there are many people who are from that region and haven't been any from Palestine yet, but mm-hmm. I know they are throughout this region. Mm-hmm. And so you know, it's just like we would want to tell the story of many different cultures that we are neighbors with. If it's in school or in your home, you want to develop multiculturalism and tolerance and learn about one another. That's basically what she was going to explain about Palestinian culture. And simply mm-hmm. say two things. Palestinians are human beings, mm-hmm. and they have a very rich culture for thousands of years that's been developing. That's mm-hmm. all. So the idea was to have her come and spend some time talking about this book of hers, and that was it.
Okay.
And that was supposed to take place on May 19th. The event had been developing between Jewish Voice for Peace and the library over, I would say, 6 months.
Okay.
Basically, if we had to kind of capture it in very quickly, the event was canceled. We received no notification of them canceling the event. It was simply posted on the website of the library. And then we heard that the board would talk about have an open public hearing the next night, May 20th, after the supposed event. And that public hearing would enable people who opposed this event to come and voice their opposition, and presumably those who supported the event would also be there, an open public event. Then afterwards it was explained that they would adjourn and make a decision about the fate of the event.
Okay.
That event was canceled. The community event was canceled on May 6th.
On May 6th. And this was
To be taking place on May 20th.
On May 20th.
And so between May 6th, we waited for them to announce the date that there would be a reconvening of the board. Mm-hmm. This is their regular scheduled meeting, and they would
allow this issue.
They would need to find a time that was appropriate.
Okay.
Throughout this process, we have no communication with them. So on the 13th of May, we sent them a letter mm-hmm. telling them what our intentions were, why we had the event, and why, you know, what we'd gone through and working with the public library. And when we didn't receive a response from them, we also cited something important that's for us to say from the outset. the cancellation of a public event and with an author speaking about her book mm-hmm. in a library, one of the places there's an open space for the exchange of ideas and values,
yeah.
is considered by many, and certainly the ACLU that we worked with, the Palestinian Legal Foundation, mm-hmm. The Center for Constitutional Rights, all agreed with us that this is a violation of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we made the case strongly there. Not only did we make the case in our May 13th letter, we also cited the American Library Association's Bill of Rights, which has 8 different criteria of what the rights are of people in the public library system. Mm-hmm. Certainly aware of that. 4 mm-hmm. of those were violated by this action. And we presented that very clearly to the board.
Is this a standard of this public library or guidelines? Yes. Yeah. Oh, their own standards.
They have their own policies there, which are very consistent with this. Okay. You know, I don't think public libraries are credentialed, but it's a professional organization.
Sure.
And librarians study this problem of First Amendment
sure.
and censorship of books.
Yeah,
in the
the strongest advocates against
absolutely.
Censorship
and
of
that's
books.
Why,
I love how librarians get so radical about that issue.
Right.
And this is gets pretty close to that type of
it's very close
situation.
It's very
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
And you know,
so their own standards
support this
in writing.
They're violating them.
We're being violated by canceling.
Right.
This
Furthermore,
event. Yeah.
we called their attention to the fact that they have a policy, which is if someone opposes a book that the library has purchased,
okay.
there's a form to be filled out, and you have to explain why you've done that.
Yeah.
We said, similarly, if you have an event, it must follow the same procedures. Share with us the form
yeah.
so we can understand mm-hmm. why it is that the opponents of this event, what is it they feel that is so offensive about it.
Sure.
Again, they didn't respond to our letter, not of the 13th or the 16th, into which we just simply pointed out to them, you know, please acknowledge receipt of our letter. Please acknowledge that we are co-sponsors of this event.
Mm-hmm.
Please have a discussion with us about how this future event, this public hearing, is going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
We, in our 16th of May letter, wrote to them and said, we're concerned about the venue that this is going to take place in, being, if it's the community hall of the library, it holds 50 or 60 people. We think mm-hmm. there's going to be many more that are going to come to this event. You should find a larger venue. We don't know how the meeting is going to be conducted.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us, for example, is the author going to be allowed to come and make a presentation of her book and what she feels is being, mm-hmm. you know, how she's being wronged by not having this event. We would like to also have, as co-sponsors of this event, to have an opportunity to come and present why we approach the library and what are our aims in trying to do this.
Sounds very reasonable. Sure.
We would think so.
Yeah.
And we also suggested that they might want to talk with public safety officials because these kinds of events, which we understand there's mm-hmm. very heated opposition to this event,
mm-hmm.
as we thought that they ought to get word from the public safety officials about how they can ensure the safety of people who are participating.
Okay.
Again, no response
mm-hmm.
from them acknowledging that they had received the letter. Or so then from basically from May 6th, when the cancellation took place, until actually the 4th of June,
mm-hmm.
They announced at the mixed meeting, they made a series of announcements over these 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the announcements were, we're changing the venue. They changed the venue 3 different times.
Mm.
And then they announced that they would have the event on June the 5th. And they then further later on, about a week before the event, they told us that how the event would take place. There would be 3 minutes for each person who spoke.
Mm-hmm.
There could be no redundancy. So if they would interrupt someone who's making a presentation of a point of view or a position that someone else had addressed, and so forth. They had these mm-hmm. different rules. And then about 4 days before the event, they said, well, only the people who are residents of Highland Park can speak. It will have priority, and everyone must be a resident of New Jersey. Well, the author lives in New York, so she wouldn't be able to come and present her book.
Hmm.
So we have all of these, this 2.5, 3 weeks of period in which all kinds of obstacles are being set up, things are changing. It doesn't look to us that they have much experience with this, or maybe, you know, maybe it's purposeful to, we simply don't know. We have no communication with them.
Yeah.
And the people on the staff of the library that we've been in contact with are simply not, you know, sharing any information about it. They're, you know, very silent about it. So basically, the long and short of it, the final thing that happens to this is that on the 4th of June, day before this event, a posting is put up on the library website, which says the event's canceled. That is, the public board meeting is now canceled. Mm-hmm. It's canceled because the mayor and the public safety office, the police chief, basically, of the town had thought that there was a severe threat to the public safety and to citizens who would be participating in the event. Out of concern for public safety, they were canceling the event. And they set up two conditions. So what they announced is basically their decision. Mm-hmm. And their decision is that there would be a meeting. Mm-hmm. The library and the author of the book would find a date that would be appropriate for both. And they would then reschedule the event.
Okay.
And then something totally new came into the picture. Mm-hmm. There would be a book called I Is for Israel. That's by two authors that I'm not familiar with, whom I'm not familiar. And this is also an alphabet book. And they would be scheduled as soon as possible. The exact wording, I think, is important to just pay attention to. Their letter or their posting says, because there's no time in the foreseeable future when those conditions, the board canceled the meeting due to concerns for citizen safety and crowd control. Direct quote. Again, quoting, because there is no time in the foreseeable future when those conditions are likely to change, the library director, on the advice of council, is taking the following actions. The library will reschedule the P is for Palestine author talk at a time that is mutually acceptable to the author and the library.
Okay.
The library will schedule a program around the book I Is for Israel by Gili Bar Hillel and Pradipa Das as soon as possible. End of quote. The last fact that I can say about this is, several other facts that are important to just kind of introduce people to what's going on here. On June 4th and 5th, I remind you that June 4th is Election Day, Tuesday, mm-hmm. June 4th, mm-hmm. the streets around the public library were closed by the police. Mm-hmm. That would be 5th and 6th Street in Highland Park.
Okay.
In other words, the day after the election and the day the event was to take place, mm-hmm. they kept the street closed and a police presence. And the explanation that we heard indirectly was there may be people who didn't hear about the cancellation of the event and they might show up to protest or to find out what's going on. We know that people are coming from quite a distance, from Brooklyn, for example. We know of a rabbi who was planning to bring several buses of protesters. Mm-hmm. And maybe they didn't get word, or maybe they, we would imagine some of the rabbis or other people in town may have informed them and they would have, mm-hmm. you know, kept away. Mm-hmm. So that event that, you know, fundamentally, another fact here is there's something going on here that leads us to ask why is the police presence and this mm-hmm. taking this action is so interesting. So a couple of other facts that I think are important. Mm-hmm. So neither the Jewish Voice for Peace, the Palestine Legal Association, mm-hmm. the ACLU New Jersey, mm-hmm. or the Center for Constitutional Rights, nor the author have had any communication with anybody in the board or from the staff of the library.
Hmm.
From the very beginning, after the co-sponsorship was set up with the staff, so once the board... this event was canceled, the first event, the May 19th event, until today, there's been no communication with them whatsoever. Furthermore, if you recall, the setting up of the event was going to be between the author and the library, but we're the co-sponsor of this event and we're not cited. Third point, the mayor, Brill Mittler, won a highly contested election that took place on Morph for the to be the Democratic Party candidate. And the last thing I can say is that media coverage has appeared nationally and internationally, especially in Israel and in Palestine, and including articles. There was one that was recently published just a few days ago by a local rabbi from Edison telling us what's going on in this event in Arutz Sheva, which is the religious TV and radio station in Israel. So you have this communication going on. There were articles in Haaretz magazine, newspaper, which is the Hebrew newspaper. We know, I heard from Palestinian colleagues that there were things in the Palestinian press. In fact, several of them that I spoke to recently said, oh yeah, we know about P is for Palestine. So we have international attention with this event. You know, why has an event with an author of a children's book not, has that been canceled?
So why was it so controversial? So we talked about there was this on the surface. So did you get any information if it was canceled? Were there threats? Did, was there any credible evidence of threats that would occur to the Highland Park Library, to the community, as far as you know?
I can only say that what was written in social media and then in print and as well as you know, online newspapers are very strongly worded opposition, the use of quite violent language against the event and particularly against the Jewish Voice for Peace. So there's a very, the thing that they jumped at, I mean, there are several points that we can make. I cited a couple of the pages of the book that are pretty innocuous. But let's just go through a few of them here. I just kind of paging through the book. J is for Jesus. Jesus was born in my hometown, Bethlehem, not in Jamestown. but I is the one that apparently got their attention.
Okay.
I is for Intifada. Intifada in Arabic for is rising up for what is right. If you're a kid or a grown-up. Basically, the word Intifada comes from a root of a word that means to shake off. And the way my friends would often talk about it is, it's like a dog that has fleas. It shakes until you can get rid of whatever's bothering you.
Okay,
that's the kind of colloquial way of talking about. But fundamentally, it means shaking off something, resisting something. Okay, now, what the Israelis, when they saw, or not the Israelis, the people who complained about this event, who opposed it, what they would do was say, well, that's not exactly, I mean, we understand language is more, is richer than that. Intifada is referring to the two periods of, they say, violence that was used by Palestinians in the occupied territories to oppose the occupation and the very, very inhumane conditions that they're living in. And that, both of those periods of time, of the Intifada, which some of them continued for several years, were all, in both cases started as nonviolent actions. And most people use protest, the conventional means of protest. Sometimes that got out of hand, but it was never in the initial stages in both rounds violent. It became violent. There were groups that certainly became violent in that, and that it can't be denied. But it was always, you have to put that into the context of provocation and of the conditions that they're living in and the deplorable way in which the world has responded to their conditions. So resistance, the examples that Goldberg Bashi uses are of the things that could go on in family life, or can go in social life. But what they're focusing in on is that one page of this book is the one that they oppose. And they don't want, as one person wrote, who really set off this, Rachel Rochele Kipnis, who is apparently a Republican politician in Middlesex County, a member of the Republican County Committee,
Okay.
She wrote an article that was published in several Jewish newspapers here in New Jersey, saying that what we're doing is socializing toddlers to violence. That was one claim that was made and repeated over and over again. I mean,
there's nothing in this book.
There's no mention here of Israel in this whole book. There's no mention here of the occupation in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one thing is that, you know, but I think it's really interesting is to take a look at what it is that they're saying about Jewish Voice for Peace.
Mm-hmm.
So Jewish Voice for Peace is fundamentally interested in advancing the human and civil rights, communal rights of Palestinians,
mm-hmm.
solidarity, and advancing the social justice issues that involve them. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that we're really interested in is educating the public at large about these issues that are really important because a huge part of the United States budget goes into Israel.
Yes.
There are the conditions that could easily qualify for actions that have taken in Israel or actions that have been taken by the world against Palestinians that could easily go to the Hague as crimes against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So those issues need to be talked about. We need to mm-hmm. recognize that. But furthermore, we're interested, particularly here in central New Jersey, we've been talking about doing this more and more, about really looking at this Israel-centric organizations mm-hmm. that function not only in the Jewish community, but the evangelical community, and certainly Congress, mm-hmm. all of them need to be called into account for the kinds of actions that they are taking that are totally Israel-centric. And we see that in the media, we see that mm-hmm. in the laws that are being passed. There were three laws that in Jewish Voice for Peace, as you know, we've been meeting with legislators here in New Jersey and trying to lobby them against what these laws are advocating, which is the recognition of one of the things that Jewish Voice for Peace nationally is involved in, which is the boycott, divestment, mm-hmm. and sanctions movement, which is a part of what we're doing. It is fundamentally using a legitimate form of action for citizens to use to petition their government.
Absolutely.
And to fundamentally claim that if you're doing any of these kinds of activities, according to a law that's in the Congress right now and up for a vote, mm-hmm. If you are voting for or supporting BDS, that must be that you're against Israel and therefore you're anti-Semitic. And that's the really tricky, interesting point here, because we and Jewish Voice for Peace, for co-sponsoring this event with the library, have been called in these different publications anti-Semites.
And Jewish Voice for Peace has a lot of Jewish members, correct?
Well, interestingly,
not solely,
not,
but a good amount.
You know, I would venture a guess. There are 15,000 mm-hmm. members of Jewish Voice for Peace.
Okay.
Just on a membership drive, they put it up on the, that's not our chapter. That would be all of Highland Park.
Yeah.
But 15,000 plus members
mm-hmm.
in all 50 states with something like 70 chapters mm-hmm. throughout of all different sizes.
Yeah.
I would venture that to say that 90% of the members in different chapters are Jewish,
mm-hmm.
except in central New Jersey, mm-hmm. we're about 40%.
Oh, so
we have concerned citizens, we have immigrants from the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
we have several Palestinians who are with us. So mm-hmm. we really represent in many ways a much broader spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and to the point that sometimes we say, in what way are we acting as Jews? I mean, this seems, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we ought to be, you know, New Jersey Citizens for Social Justice in Palestine, but
mm-hmm.
but fundamentally, the question that I want to, you know, I get to is that the Jewish tradition is, you know, 3,000 years of recorded from the Bible on mm-hmm. of discussion about values.
Mm-hmm.
The prophets challenge the governments, the mm-hmm. kings, citizens, rabbis, they challenge them constantly mm-hmm. about their values positions and mm-hmm. say they've forgotten the real intent of mm-hmm. what it was that happened on Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
It goes into the Talmudic period where when I started Talmud, which is the legal documents that
mm-hmm.
that are argued about I kept saying in the beginning, there are these two guys, Reuven and Shimon, who are they? They're always mm-hmm. arguing about something. They're just apocryphal figures that mm-hmm. appear. They're just, you know, if X and Y, Ploni and Noni, how is it they're arguing about different positions about a sentence or a word or mm-hmm. A phrase that's in a text and wanting to know, mm-hmm. okay, well, wait a second, what are we doing? We're simply saying we want an event here in Highland Park in a public library, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be a place where our values and ideas are exchanged. Yeah. And we simply want people to have an opportunity to know about Palestine.
Yeah.
Why is it that they think, the opponents, that they're, I think the opponents ought to be called the Israel protectors.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that they think that their value system and what they think is important about Israel mm-hmm. should be the only one that people hear?
The only view out there. Yeah.
Why is it that we can't understand that there has been a deep split in the American Jewish community and in other European Jewish communities
mm-hmm.
in terms of the point of view of what is it that they ought to be thinking about in terms of Israel-Palestine? There are two very clear positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
This same public library about 2 months ago had an event about Jewish chicken farmers in New Jersey.
Mm.
And these people, one of whom, Marion Monk, is a member of our group, and she was the one who was actually working with the library to set this event up.
Okay.
She grew up on one of these Jewish chicken farms, and her parents and her grandparents came from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And the same family had members of their family. Some of them went to Palestine
mm-hmm.
At the time, in the beginning of the 20th century. Some of them came to New Jersey, and some of them stayed.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed there and were lost in World War II, in the Holocaust. But the point is, there was an ongoing debate there in Europe about whether or not to go and join a colonial settler community,
mm-hmm.
which they knew it was from a socialist point of view.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the Palestinians were there, and they were saying, okay, they're equal, and we're not going to go there and be a part of that, and we're going to go to America. And many of them came and were, you know, garment workers, and mm-hmm. some of them didn't like being in New York City, so they came and settled in New Jersey, and they set up farms. My point is that since the 1880s, there's been this, their very split community view.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are pro-Israel, mm-hmm. and others of us think that Jewish culture is richer than being just focused on Israel, mm-hmm. and that we were looking to have that vibrancy be a mm-hmm. part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, there's a humanistic community here in central New Jersey, the mm-hmm. Peretz community. It's mm-hmm. been around for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
It is not religious. Mm-hmm. It is a humanistic group of people who have a very strong social justice.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out of the working men's circle, which has a rich history of union organizing.
Mm-hmm.
That community is split about support for Israel or maybe not support for Israel, but they have different opinions about it. And it's a rich debate.
Yeah.
Why can't we have that in Highland Park and in a public library?
A civil discussion. And Highland Park and the area can be very progressive. So people that don't know the area may not realize that, because I know we have the Reformed Church of Highland Park.
Absolutely.
That is a center for, you know, so many social justice groups, and Jewish Voice for Peace meets there.
Absolutely.
And it's probably just, what, blocks away from the library.
Yep. Second to fifth.
Yeah. So there is a progressive community there, and I'm sure that's why.
We know that they've written letters to the library board about this event, mm-hmm. and we know that they've been active. We met with several of them yesterday and heard their views, both of, you know, how we should be monitoring what's going on, because we're not sure that this event of the rescheduling of the event is going to take place.
I was going to ask you. So it's in limbo. There's no plans being made, but it sounds like Jewish Voice for Peace has been removed from the discussion about a future event at Highland Park Library anyway.
So we're working with the author
okay.
to have her reinforce the idea that we're a part of this. we're not going to disappear. We're going to let them know. We're going to be monitoring. We're going to continue to be activists about this. We're going to continue to write about it. We're going to work with our partners who've been very supportive. And I think one of the, it's important for us to say, you know, that solidarity and collaboration works. This event was basically, you know, that it was brought back is simply the product of 6,000 petitions, signatures that they received from a petition that was circulating.
And this was pretty quick because of the timing.
Very quickly. These were by other organizations. We didn't take a role. Their language there is taking on the Intifada claim and the anti-Israel claim, and that we're anti-Zionists and that we are anti-Semites. It takes them on in some very kind of direct ways, which that's their position. That's fine. We decided that we are going to stick with multiculturalism and diversity and tolerance, and that we simply want to advance this educational project.
Yeah,
that's our position.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's what, you know, all of us, you know, we have different views of this, and so.
Yes.
But my point is that that's it. So what we want
we
them
need
to
dialogue.
Know, we need dialogue about this, and they need to know that we're going to be monitoring what's going on. There's a meeting on the 24th of the library board, and we're encouraging people to go to that meeting and to raise in the public comments
section. June 24th.
June 24th.
Where's the public library?
On Fifth Street.
At the Highland Park.
So we're encouraging people to go there and to bear witness to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We want, if there are going to have this book about IS for Israel, we want to go there and we want to hear what it is that they're saying and raise questions about, you know, what they're presenting is an Israel narrative. We certainly are not going to be silent about that or be silenced by it. And we are consulting with our the people who have much more experience with this. That's Jewish Voice for Peace in the national office. But it's certainly Palestine Legal and the ACLU and the American Library Association. Just for a point of additional fact, it's interesting that we're getting advice from two past presidents of the American Library Association, who are residents of Highland Park faculty members at Rutgers University in the School of Communication and Information Science.
Yeah,
number two in the country, and we have really great relations with them and several other professors who are assisting us to think about, okay, what are the ways that we can really engage ourselves and continue to engage this event.
Yeah, so we what we're going to have right now is to tell our viewers that this is going to be a public meeting on June 24th, but do we know if P is for Palestine is on the agenda?
I don't think so.
Okay, but you're encouraging people to come and try to speak about this issue?
I think they'll have a public comments section, and in public comments, they're free to voice their opinions and raise questions to the board.
Will Jewish Voice for Peace be present?
We will certainly be there.
Okay, and then I guess I was thinking another thing would be to support this author, people should purchase
the book. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Learn. Give it to your niece or nephew or children. And the author's name again?
Goldbarg, G-O-L-B-A-R-G, Bashi, B-A-S-H-I. Simply P is for Palestine on a Google search. We'll get you a lot about Jewish Voice for Peace, but also the book.
Yes, purchase the book so we can support the author.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Peter.
Thank you. Thanks. Pleasure talking.
All right. Thank you very much, Diane. Thanks, Peter, for joining us on New Jersey Revolution Radio. For those of you that want to know what's coming soon, of course, every Monday we have Wine, Women, and Revolution with Heather Warburton. We just posted an interview called Badasses and Bolsheviks and Bourbon or something. I think I got those things backwards. But it's a great interview with a great comrade out of South Jersey fighting for the cause in Norcross Country. There's that. There's a lot more about Jameik Lowry and that investigation, Extinction Rebellion, all the concerns about imperialism going on. Just visit www.njrevolutionradio.com. You can get educated, and if you have a few extra dollars, it always helps if you make a little contribution. Any amount helps. We take $1 all the way up to $1 million. So if you can, hit the donate button. We will see you here next Wednesday, as we do every Wednesday at 8 p.m. with Diane Moxley. I am Brian Powers. Thank you for listening to New Jersey Revolution Radio Live.